Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Thursday, October 12, 2023. A top UN diplomat says the situation in Sudan continues to affect millions of families trapped inside the country.
I have seen and I have witnessed the level of human rights violations that have happened within Sudan, so that what we hear from people who have crossed the borders is really heartbreaking.
And the European Union pledges to support South Sudanese returnees and internally displaced persons.
There are 860 teachers will be trained on the new curriculum, as well as protection and also providing non-specialized psychosocial support to their children. This is a very important component in South Sudan, where many have suffered from displacement, from conflict, from various natural hazards.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, warns the humanitarian emergency in Sudan has created a protection crisis both inside the country and in countries of asylum. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
More than 5.4 million people in Sudan have been uprooted from their homes since conflict erupted nearly 6 months ago, making it the fastest displacement crisis in the world. The UN Refugee Agency says the dangers encountered by people fleeing violence also make Sudan one of the largest protection crises facing the agency today. UNHCR Regional Refugee Coordinator for the Sudan Situation, Mamadou Diane Balde, says more than 1 million refugees have crossed the border under very difficult circumstances. He says during a recent visit to Sudan, he witnessed the violence and human rights violations experienced by unprotected women, children, and elderly people leaving for South Sudan.
I have seen and I have witnessed the level of human rights violations that have happened within Sudan, so that what we hear from people who have crossed the borders is really heartbreaking. And that's the protection crisis that we are faced with, and it has been ongoing for the past 6 months.
Balde told journalists in Geneva today that millions of refugees and internally displaced people also are threatened because they cannot receive life-saving aid. He says only 29% of the $1 billion in funds agencies need to combat humanitarian emergencies has arrived. He warns of serious repercussions for the millions of vulnerable people unable to fend for themselves if the international community does not close this funding shortfall.
It's people who no longer can eat, people who no longer are able to have access to their basic rights, but it's also negative coping mechanism. It's about child labor. It's about risk of prostitution. It's taking these communities, putting them in the hand of smugglers and traffickers.
Balde says the UNHCR expects the number of Sudanese refugees is likely to reach 1.8 million by the end of the year. He warns the longer the crisis drags on, the greater the risk the conflict will spill over into other countries and destabilize the region. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Still on Sudan, Chad says it is increasingly finding it difficult to meet the humanitarian needs of 2 million foreigners and displaced persons seeking refuge among its about 16 million civilians. The Central African country's president says the situation is compounded by an influx of people, many of them women and children, fleeing the violence and increasing hardships in neighboring Sudan. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Chad's neighbor, Cameroon.
Chad's President Mahamat Idriss Deby says several thousand Sudanese refugees entered Adre, a town in Gudai province, within the past 2 weeks. Adre, located in the southeastern Chad, is home to more than 210,000 Sudanese refugees, which is about four times more than the town's population, according to the government. The refugees started arriving in the region in April when Sudan descended into violence. President Deby spoke in a message broadcast on Chad State Television this week.
A different case.
Deby says civilians in towns and villages that share a border with Chad are fighting over limited resources, with millions of people fleeing several crises in neighboring countries. He says, I am urging my people whom I know live in poverty to accept, receive and protect refugees and displaced persons who come to our country in deteriorating health situations caused by conflicts in neighboring states. Chad is one of the world's poorest countries. The nation also has faced several fragility and institutional challenges in a region rife with conflict. But Chad's government says about 2 million people in a country of close to 18 million inhabitants are seeking refuge. They include civilians fleeing Boko Haram atrocities and violent conflicts between fishers and herders in Cameroon, Nigeria and Niger, and Central African Republic inhabitants who fled violence as fighting erupted in their country in 2013. Chad says since violent conflicts also began in Sudan in April, more than 400,000 Sudanese refugees and nearly 52,000 Chadian returnees have arrived in towns and villages in eastern Chad. Humanitarian organizations, including the United Nations Refugee Agency, say the influx puts a massive strain on already fragile resources and engenders conflicts between displaced persons, refugees, and host communities. 31-year-old Amina Abo says she arrived in Adre from Darfur, a western Sudanese town, this week. She spoke Wednesday on Chad State TV. She says she could not bear the shock when her husband was killed in Darfur 2 weeks ago, and she decided to move with her two children. She says she and her children have been hungry since they arrived in Chad, with scores of women and children. The United Nations estimates that by the end of the year, 600,000 refugees are expected to arrive in Chad from Sudan. Chad's government says it needs immediate assistance from the international community to help returnees, refugees, and host communities that need protection, material, and humanitarian aid, including food, shelter, water, and sanitation. Sudan descended into violence in April when two rival military factions that had held the capital Khartoum hostage extended attacks to other parts of the country, including the western Darfur region, where it reignited long-standing ethnic and intercommunal tensions. West Darfur State is the epicenter of conflicts in the region, with reports of widespread violence against civilians, according to the United Nations. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Still on Sudan, the United Nations Human Rights Council on Wednesday adopted a resolution that opens a probe into the humanitarian situation in the country. Violence and displacement have escalated since fighting between the army and the paramilitary rapid support forces erupted in April. Michelle Taylor, the permanent representative of the United States to the UN Human Rights Council, said the resolution is a call to action for the warring parties in Sudan to cease their atrocities and other abuses, lay down their weapons, and to allow safe, rapid, and unhindered humanitarian access. Taylor said the international community cannot place blind trust in the goodwill of the generals who have shown utter disregard for the lives of civilians and their obligation to protect them. 19 countries voted in favor of the resolution, 16 voted against, and 12 abstained. Last week, the UN said it was struggling to reach 18 million people in Sudan to fend off a humanitarian disaster hampered by insecurity, interference from the warring parties, and a lack of international support. The European Union and UN agencies in South Sudan have pledged millions of dollars for supporting thousands of returnees and displaced persons in Wau, the state capital of Western Bahr Ghazal, to build their lives. The International Organization for Migration says the $26.5 million project will support families in the area, create a better future for their children. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
The European Union funded a project implemented by International Organization for Migration, the World Food Programme, and the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF. Benjamin Moore, IOM's head of project, says the UN agency aimed to shift their focuses from providing humanitarian to supporting development initiatives. He says the funds project will be used to build schools and increase student enrollment in Western Bahr Ghazal State.
For example, construction of 100 new classrooms, 18,000 teaching and learning materials will be distributed, 385 members of school governance structures such as parents and teachers associations will receive training and capacity building. There are 860 teachers will be trained on the new curriculum, as well as protection and also providing non-specialized psychosocial support to their children. This is a very important component in South Sudan, where many have suffered from displacement, from conflict, from various natural hazards that have left trauma and scars with our children and adults. And additionally, 21,000 children will be supported with school feeding and nutritional supplements at the schools.
The Children's Agency says 2.8 million South Sudanese children are out of school, adding that the prolonged conflict in the country has contributed an increased psychosocial distresses, vulnerability to violence, abuse, neglect, and exploitation. Moore says the project will support 12,000 IDPs and returnees to rebuild their lives and create a better future for their children by focusing on quality education, sustainable livelihoods, school feeding, climate resilience, and other activities promoting social cohesion.
By the end of the project, which is about 2.5 years, 27 youth gang groups were able to establish themselves as small businesses, whether it was in retail, baking, or drama classes, etc. Now, this project takes that model and takes that approach and scales it up to a much larger number of people and a much larger number of youth groups. And in that way, on the one hand, we improve access to education for our young children in primary school, but we also address the problem that young people often don't find employment, often don't have skills beyond primary and secondary education, and may want to engage in productive and income-generating activities. For example, having a small plot of land farming or a retail store or a bakery shop, another income-generating activities.
Teresa Emilio is a mother of seven who returned from Khartoum following the outbreak of conflict in Sudan in mid-April this year. She says her children have not been able to get back to school.
It is not easy to start a life as a returnees. We have challenges of renting, as owners demand advance payment. Also, schools are expensive. We left our jobs behind, and we are not used to this life with a lot of illnesses. We are worried what our children can eat the next day, and the market is expensive. When such project comes, it can help us strengthen ourselves and be able to educate our children. But for us who have come from Khartoum, we are not used to cultivation. Even if they give me a piece of land, I need to have money to hire people to help me.
Moore says the project seeks to provide adult literacy and essential life-saving skills to the internally displaced persons and returnees in Western Bahr Ghazal State. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, some internal displaced persons in South Sudan say they will not participate in the 2024 elections. Find out why after the break.
do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the best advice you have ever gotten?
I got an advice from my mom. She encouraged me to work hard. That she told me, and a very successful woman is a very hardworking woman.
The great one I can remember is the one my father gave to me to study hard. Actually, he was on his, I can say, maybe a deathbed. He was so ill. He had a stroke and he was so helpless. He couldn't do anything for me. That was the last day I even saw him. It was like, my son, study hard.
Is from my father. He has always told me that I shouldn't be afraid to learn new things and to take up new challenges, because he said that you're only afraid to take up new challenges when you haven't tried it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some internally displaced persons sheltering in a camp in the United States capital Bantu say they might not participate in the general elections planned for 2024 unless the government implements the security arrangements stipulated in the 2018 peace agreement. Let Nyak Jok reports from Bantu.
James Lamgade, the shelter of the youth residing at the UN-run Protection of Civilian or POC site in the state capital, Bintu, say unless the government implement the security arrangement in the peace deal, some IDPs boycott the election.
The problem that will prevent people from going to the election, the security need to be provided now so that people can go to the election. If there is no good security for the election, how will people vote?
Another IDP, Kirbina Sudan, say while it is good to hold the election at the end of the transitional period, the government should first resettle and reintegrated IDPs and refugees. He says she doubt about the country is ready for election.
I believe this election will not succeed, according to my point of view. The reason it will not succeed is because this election has been prolonged. It looks like it will happen, but there's nothing show that people will go for the elections.
But Mary Nyalwaria disagrees, saying she believes the election will enable South Sudanese to make wise choice to end the conflict and move the country forward.
If the country is at peace, I agree with some people who want to vote, whether it is one or two people. I am willing to vote so that I can return back to my original place.
IDP camp leader James Toria say he rejected the conduct of the election next year. He say she believes the government should first focus on the meeting of the humanitarian need of the IDPs.
There are people who are dying and they were told to go for elections. First bring us food so that we can vote. There is no one who can go for elections while suffering of hunger. It is not there.
The undersecretary in the Ministry of Peace Building, Pierre Philippe, say the IDPs are right to express their views.
To say they will not vote or they will not participate to support the government, they are actually citizens of this country. They have all the rights. If they do not vote, then they might not get the right people who will pay attention to their needs.
Philippe say the unity government is working to implement the security arrangement before the general election is conducted. He advised the citizen to be patient.
Security sector reform is going on. It's not an overnight exercise, but it is a process.
The roadmap for extending the transitional period requires the unity government to conduct the election by December 2024. For BOA News, I'm Lies Nyajwa in Bintu, United States.
A UN official says eight peacekeepers have been suspended and detained in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo on allegations of sexual exploitation. The United Nations said on Wednesday that it has taken strong measures in response to reports of serious misconduct by peacekeepers. The peacekeepers have been confined to further details and a full investigation. A UN official who was not authorized to speak about the specifics of the case told the Associated Press that the eight are from South Africa. They were detained in the city of Beni in North Kivu province after being caught with prostitutes at an authorized bar after curfew. In 2017, of the 2,000 sexual abuses and exploitation complaints made against the UN worldwide over the 12 past years, more than 700 occurred in Congo. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel in a show of solidarity and support as the country responds to devastating cross-border attacks by militant group Hamas. Blinken is meeting with senior Israeli officials to inquire about what Israel needs as it seeks to free hostages held by Hamas, regain control of its border with Gaza, and destroy Hamas' operational capacity. VOA's senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
Residents of Kibbutz Masada in northern Israel took refuge in a shelter after a warning siren sounded twice. The Israeli army said it suspected an aerial infiltration from Lebanon into northern Israel, although it later said it had not identified any aerial intrusions from the north. More than 2,300 people in Israel and Gaza have been killed, with thousands of others injured, since Hamas militants launched brutal attacks on Saturday, prompting Israel to declare war and to form an emergency government. U.S. President Joe Biden reaffirmed that he and his national security team are working day and night on the conflict, and said he and Vice President Kamala Harris had spoken again Wednesday with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
And this moment, we have to be crystal clear. There is no justification for terrorism, no excuse, and the type of terrorism that was exhibited here was just beyond the pale, beyond the pale. As I said yesterday, my commitment to Israel's security and the safety of the Jewish people is unshakable.
Biden dispatched his top diplomat, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, to Israel as a sign of solidarity. Before departing to the conflict region, Blinken had this to say to any country that might try to take advantage of the situation.
The president has deployed, as you know, the world's largest aircraft carrier group to the region to make very clear our intent to deter anyone contemplating any further aggression against Israel.
Blinken said that the U.S. is also focused on its own citizens, that 22 Americans have died, and that number could go up. The White House said 17 Americans were still missing, and the administration had no information on their condition. At the United Nations in New York, Secretary General Antonio Guterres said he is in constant contact with leaders in the Middle East and is worried about a spillover of the conflict in the region.
I am concerned about the recent exchange of fire along the Blue Line and recent reported attacks from southern Lebanon. I appeal to all parties and those who have an influence over those parties to avoid any further escalation and spillover.
Guterres also called for Hamas to release all Israeli hostages, emphasizing that civilians must always be protected and that international humanitarian law must be upheld. He said that about 220,000 Palestinians are now sheltered in 92 UN facilities across Gaza, and that UN premises and hospitals, schools and clinics must never be targeted. Later Wednesday at the White House, Biden joined a roundtable with Jewish community leaders to express his condolences and his unwavering support for Israel following the Hamas terror attacks. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
Still on U.S. affairs, the United States is providing Ukraine with up to $200 million in additional military aid in a package announced Wednesday as the Biden administration tried to temper concerns that the growing needs from Ukraine and now Israel could spread the U.S. too thin. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babs has details.
The U.S. will support both Ukraine and Israel as they fight to protect their homelands, one against Russian invaders, the other against Hamas militants. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin.
Absolutely, we can do both, and we will do both. We're going to do what's necessary to help our allies and partners, And we're going to also do what's necessary to make sure that we maintain the capability to protect our interests and defend our country.
As Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky joined the Ukraine Defense Contact Group in Brussels, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin listed more than $1 billion in new support from member nations, including another Patriot air defense system and 10 more Leopard 2 tanks from Germany. Austin also said the U.S. would help lead the coalition that is working to provide Ukraine with F-16s.
This will take months, as we said before, so earliest is next spring when we can begin to see an initial capability.
Wednesday marked the first Ukraine Defense Contact Group meeting since the U.S. Congress omitted new aid for Ukraine from a stopgap spending bill passed last month to prevent a government shutdown.
There is still bipartisan support for Ukraine. Of course, democracies will take their time to work things out.
The U.S. also announced an aid package that would provide Ukraine with up to $200 million in more weapons from American military stockpiles. General C. Hugh Brown, Jr. is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
I realize during the winter months, it gets more challenging, but Ukraine has intent to continue their offensive operations throughout the winter months. And I do believe, based on what I heard today from each of the nations, we're doing all the right things to posture them to be successful.
The U.S. package includes more ammunition for HIMARS artillery systems and more TOW missiles to counter Russian tanks. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Thursday, October 12, 2023. We now leave you with Russ Corby and the song Fish Suburb.
Fish Suburb, the Kulu Haji Al Bahasil Fidunia. Fakut Pala, Matastaji, Makum original Russ Corby.
We've been listening to Russ Corby with his band called Podu Musica. The song is called Fish Suburb. I'm your host, John Tanz, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Peter Heinle, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Oh.